Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. We pray that you'll be encouraged with the message today.
It's good to see all of you in God's house today. And we trust God that the Lord will speak to us. Today, last night, this morning, as I was preparing for today, I said, Lord, help me not to preach. Help me to speak. Man, I feel like I need to speak to people today. I feel like not preaching. I feel like speaking. I just want to speak to your hearts. Amen. So if you see a different kind of Pastor McDuff today, I'm not sick. I'm fine. I'm very, very fine. But I think what I want to talk about today is something that I need to speak to you. Amen. So I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of Psalm 90. We are going to read verse 1 to verse 17. Psalm 90, verse 1 to verse 17. The background to that psalm is that Moses had seen a generation squander waste 40 years in the wilderness. And he believed that if we could only gain a clear sense of how time passes so quickly, maybe we would work for something significant and we could die with a great sense of satisfaction. So that's the background to the psalm we are going to read. Another thing I have found just this morning as I was praying, it's again in scripture and we are going to read it later. But Solomon writes and says, the people of old, a generation comes and does not even remember them. They don't even know that they were around. And then it says, even they that do not remember those that were there before them, there is also another generation that comes up and does not even remember them. So today I want to talk to us about not wasting the time we have now. That's not the title of the message, though. But that's everything else I'm going to say. I want to speak to you and say, please, I beg you, don't waste the time you have now. Hallelujah. It should not be said of you, you wasted your life. It should not be said of you, you wasted your time. It should not be said of you, didn't she have a sense that time passes by so quickly? It should be said of you that you wasted your life. Psalm 90, verse 1 to 17. The eternity of God and man's frailty. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. So I haven't started with this one. I wanted to read that part. The eternity of God and the frailty of man. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, return, all children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only in labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to your children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen. So that was a prayer. Moses is praying to God. As he finishes that prayer, he says to God, Lord, establish the work of our hands. Which already shows that you cannot be on planet Earth and be lazy. You cannot be here and waiting people to be telling you, it shall be well, you shall prosper, you shall be great, and all those other things, and you are doing nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. You cannot be here and be doing nothing. If God has to come and bless you, he needs to come and find something you are doing for him to bless. Hallelujah. Because I think somehow, somewhere in the body of Christ, we have confused some things, and we are raising lazy believers who believe God will just show up and do something in their life, and all of a sudden their life is going to turn around. It may not happen. He needs to come and find you doing something. It also means you cannot just be there and begging people to help you. Hallelujah. Because otherwise people will try to help you. And you think people are bad. Hallelujah. Today I've said I would just want to speak. Hallelujah. When we talk about a generation, Wikipedia says a generation is all of the people born and living at about the same time, regarded collectively. So us in here right now, we are a generation. We are living at about the same time. And some of us were born at about the same time. But Wikipedia adds and says it can also be described as the average period generally considered to be about 20 to 30 years during which kids are born and grow up, become adults, and begin to have children. And I thought about this and said, yeah, there was a time when I was a child. And I never thought I would have children. And now I have children. And truth be told, not long from now, God willing, I may be a grandfather. Hallelujah. So that's a generation. In Moses, as he's praying to God, he says, we finish our years like a sign. And he says, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only in labor and sorrow. When you look at people, to be honest, when people are saying tukutamanga tamanga, it's not about their walk with God. It's their labor. It's their labor. When people are saying background is palibino, it's not about their walk with God. It's their sorrow. It's the hard work they are trying to do, trying to make life better, which at most can only buy about 80 years. It says, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. That we fly away means we die. That's what it says. Then in verse 12, he says something. He says, so teach us to number our days. When we have numbered our days, then Moses says that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And I sat down and began to think, why is he saying we should number our days and not our years? The reason I think is simple. This is my thing. So if I ask Pastor Sunga, how old are you? I know he's not yet 50. So he may say, I'm 40-something. It sounds small. It sounds small. I'm 52. It sounds small. So what I did was I started calculating using 365 days in a year. Of what 70 years might be. And I found that 70 years, if you take 365 times 70, then the days may be slightly longer because of the leap years, but it's 25,550 days. 80 years is 29,200 days. If you take 365 times 70 or times 80. Then I went to Google. So when I went to Google, I had to use myself as an example. So I said, Lord, today is 26th of March.
From the day I was born on 15th of August 1971 to 26th of March 2023, how many days have I lived? And I found that today I have lived 18,851 days. 18,000. It's 18,000 of either 25,550 days or 18,851 of 29,200 days if I am 80 years old. Then I went to do subtraction. So I said, if we take 25,500 minus 18,851, then how many days are remaining? And I found that it is 6,699 days remaining. If we take 29,200 minus 18,851 days, then it is 10,349 days remaining. Then I check all those days, how many days have I spent married? Then I found that 8,975 days I've been married. Then I said, but it looks like the days that remain are fewer than the days I have lived. Then I said, Lord, teach me to number my days that I may have a heart of wisdom. Now that wisdom is not 1 + 1 = 2. There's a different kind of wisdom. All of us gathered in this room are allotted, have been allotted a number of days. Hallelujah. One day, those allotted days will come to an end. Most of the time, when those days are coming to an end, they don't come to an end on the day you were born. Do you understand what I'm saying? They don't come to an end on the day you were born. They end somewhere along the way. And I think because for a long time, we have asked each other, how old are you? And we have said, 52 years old, 20 years old, 15 years old. It looks like the number of days we have spent are less. But in true sense, the number of days we have spent are more. Hallelujah. If you want to live a life that counts, you need to gain a heart of wisdom, which is what I'm talking about today. But then when you go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. It says, keep your heart. In complete reliance in God, keep it steady, keep it in faith, for out of your heart come, spring the issues of life. What is that trying to tell us? It is telling us that what is in your heart will direct your life. Anything you do now, anything you have done in your life has come out of what your heart has thought. Hallelujah. So when Peter is writing in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 14, he says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. What things? Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That scripture made me think. Sometimes I just want to take the word of God the way it is. And because I try to think, when Peter was writing, he didn't write to them and say, now let me try to interpret what I've written to you. Somehow, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter understood that one day the heavens will pass away. He understood that one day, and he says, the passing away of the heavens on that day is going to be with great noise. And then he says, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Means everything you see, he says, will melt with fervent heat. And then he says, both the earth and the works that I need will be burnt up. So everything you see, according to what Peter is saying, it will be burned up. All these things we labor for, all these things we struggle for, all these things we sweat, strength. Peter says they will be bigger. And I love it the way he says. He says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved. Now, let me tell you what dissolving is. You take a spoon of sugar, you pour it in a cup where there is water, and you stir. Afterwards, you try. You will not find any solubles, grains of sugar. All of it dissolved. And Peter says, all these things will be dissolved. So he says, now that you understand that all these things are going to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and in godliness? You need some time to sit down and say, it will be dissolved, it will be gone. The other way that you need to understand it is this way. Everything you are striving and struggling for today, including your clothes, one day people are going to shed. They will share your shoes, they will share your clothes, they will share the money. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everything you struggle for, they are going to share one day. I've been on earth 18,851 days. So you can understand what I want to say. I have seen in this country people who were rich. They left a lot of wealth. Today, you see nothing. A group of people came, they shared, and that is it. Anything you are sweating, striving for, people are going to share. And Peter is saying, what manner of persons ought us to be in holy conduct and in godliness? Hallelujah. Because he says, the heavens are going to be dissolved. And he says, we are looking for something. We are looking for new heavens and we are looking for a new earth. Then he says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, the new heavens and the new earth, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, and being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So this is what I want to say. Life is short. Hallelujah. Life is short. You need to invest your time in that which is of eternal value. That's what Peter is saying. That's what the writer that's what Moses is saying. He says, you know what? Spend your life investing in that which is of eternal value. Because all these things that we are striving for, all these things that we are sweating for, one day they are going to be gone. If they survive until the coming of the Lord, Peter says they'll be dissolved. And if they do not, if we are not here until the coming of the Lord, people will share. So here is a profound statement you should understand. The only things you will carry across when your days are over on planet Earth are the spiritual. That's on the planet. So when you are crying to God, establish the works of our hands. Yes, Lord, establish the works of our hands. At the depth of your heart, number one should actually be that Lord, the Lord can use those things for his kingdom, including your life, including everything you have. It means your car should be used for God's work. Your house should be used for God's work. Your money should be used for God's work. Everything that is made of you should be used of God's work. The kingdom of God should be your number one thing in life. You need to think about things that are of eternal value. The only things we carry across are the spiritual. The vanities of this world are of much less value than gaining a heart of wisdom. So don't waste your time, don't waste your life, don't waste your days in vain pursuits. Solomon writes this in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And it's interesting that before he writes everything else, that's where he begins from. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Now, sometimes I think we need to read these things because sometimes we jump to a verse and then we forget that. But I want you, the headline there says, the vanity of life. The meaninglessness of life. Kapena, chishewa jago, konzona wudi, sopanda pake zamoyo. Hallelujah. The Bible is telling us, he is the son of David, but then he says, king in Jerusalem. He is a king. Verse 2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Zopanda pake, oteradu, zonse, zopanda pake. That's what he said. Hallelujah. Muka kaha muzi zuzazona kuti izi. Zopanda pake this. All the stuff we are busy struggling for. Solomon says, Zopanda pake. But remember, I have said we cannot be lazy. Hallelujah. Says, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind wheels about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. You want to hear breaking news. Solomon says, Zopanda pake. Actually, if you can take that kind of approach to life, you will not waste your time on social media. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. I'll give you an example. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new. It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. There is nothing new under the sun. I look at fashion today. I say there's nothing new. And people begin to wear it and they think, this is new fashion. I'm like, no. These tight trousers, we used to call them bototo. All these big trousers, we used to call them frere. There is absolutely nothing new under the sun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Solomon writes, he says, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless. In summary, what Solomon is saying is that everything we do is vanity, everything we do is empty, everything we do is futile, is short-lived. It doesn't matter if you are wise or if you are a fool, because ultimately, everyone ends up dying. It's only that which you do for the Lord which will stay for eternity. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So when we are talking about a heart of wisdom, I'm not talking about intellectual capacity, because all of us have got different levels of intellectual capacity. But in the eyes of the world, I may not be very sharp. I may not be very good at mathematics or biology or algebra or all these other things. I may not be very good at understanding finances. I may not be very good at all these things that people are really, really amazing about. But I may be very, very wise, based on what I'm going to say shortly. The source of wisdom is the knowledge of the Lord. It matters how you know God. And I can tell you that you gain wisdom as you come to know God more and more intimately. Now, this is what breaks my heart. We start off on the path with God. And there is a point whereby we are really enjoying our walk with God. And we are like, Lord, this is how I want to continue with you. This is how I want to continue with you. Somewhere along the line, your heart deceives you and you go back. And the way things you used to do for the Lord, somehow it's gone. You deal with God willy-nilly. You deal with God the way you want to deal with Him. You deal with Him. It's when it's like, I'm weird. Bye, man, guy. Vanity, all is meaningless. Hallelujah. Even here in church right now, do you know we don't know each other? We just know a bit. I can tell you for a fact, you don't know everything. I also don't know everything about Martin. I also don't know everything about Naomi. I can say, the only person who can tell you I know past is my wife. And it is on the basis of the intimacy between the two of us. Because I had to take her, bring her into the world, part of the world that nobody else can come in that part of the world. Hallelujah. And God is saying, I am inviting you to come into a part of the world that no one else comes. And he says, when you come into this part of the world whereby you and I are in an intimate relationship, you will begin to know me. Some of the things we do them because we don't know God. Hallelujah. Wisdom is found in living right, in a right relationship with God, and it centers on how we live. In Romans chapter 12, verse 18, it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, unjambo wa no boa. But because of your knowledge of God, the Bible says, and people come to God, if it was me, there is no wisdom according to the word in what Jesus says. If something says, if they ask you to go one man, go with them two man. Hallelujah. For some of us, we used to go to mount with God. These days we go to certain places. Right before the path, Proverbs 16, meaningless. In Proverbs 16, verse 7, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways please the Lord. When you begin to get intimate with God, you learn of Him and you learn from Him as you begin to hear His voice and follow His guidance. One of the reasons why we are not hearing the voice of God is because we are too busy. There's no time when we sit down. Say, Lord, speak to me. And Pastor Sunga said that the will of God is not something that you need to sweat about. The will of God is revealed in the Bible. Almost anything and everything we go through in life, there is a scripture about that in the Bible. Almost everything. To the point that if we can become a people that are grounded in the Word of God, honestly, we don't need to go to somebody else and say, "Man of God, what does God say about me?" Because God Himself will tell you what He is saying about you. Hallelujah. God will tell you. God will tell you. His word will make it very, very clear to you. The fear of the Lord, when you talk about the fear of the Lord, it's actually a major theme in Scripture, which is not emphasized on in today's day and age. The fear of the Lord has to do with your attitude toward God. The fear of the Lord has to do with how you think about God. The fear of the Lord has to do with who do you understand God to be, and therefore how do you relate to Him. I come on Sundays to church. I see people sometimes get their Bible from me. And I ask myself, why do they do this? Why can they allow me to take my Bible and walk into church and put it on church? Why do they feel like they need to get the Bible from me and walk in? It is based on their understanding on who they think this man is in this place. I don't think, I know you are welcomed, I know you are told welcome and everything, but I don't know, you struggle with people that they have to say, no, you don't have the Bible for me. Maybe Pastor Sunda faces it, maybe I guess. Why am I giving that example? It's based on what the person thinks you are. So they say, this one is pastor. And because this is pastor, this is what I think about him. This is what I understand him to be. And therefore, I think part of my relationship with him, I think he needs that in the Bible. Simple. What is your attitude toward God? And your attitude toward God, it can easily be taught in the way you do things. In the way you relate with Him, in the way you relate with others, are there things in your life that God cannot touch? Including in the way you give. And giving, I want you to understand, giving has nothing to do with how much money you have. It is an attitude of the heart. That's why the Bible says, when you give, it says you don't have to give grudgingly. When you are giving, you need to give cheerfully. Because if you give grudgingly, I can challenge you today, you'll never be blessed. Your heart has to be happy that I am giving this and I'm giving it to the work of God. I want God's work to go ahead. I want God's work to progress. I want God's work to go far. I want God's work to manifest. I want the presence of God to manifest. Lord, as I am giving this today, I'm giving this because I want to see your kingdom expand. But you want somebody to come and say, to threaten you. Me, it's my mother. Because it's about your attitude. And it's your attitude toward God. It's your attitude toward God. It's about how you think about God. It's about how you understand Him. Do you understand who God is? Do you understand who God is? In the other way, I should say this. You can never be blessed with a person you despise. If you look down, if you think this man is rubbish, this woman is rubbish, this president is rubbish, this person is rubbish, you can never be blessed. And the reason why you will not be blessed is not because the person is not a blessing. It's because of the attitude of your heart. And do you know how it shows? It shows in how you do things. In Matthew chapter 8,
verse 9.
I was going to read the whole thing, but let me just go back and understand. Matthew chapter 8, verse 9. This is what the centurion says. The guy came to Jesus, and his servant was at home paralyzed and dreadfully tormented. So when he came to Jesus, Jesus said, okay, I'll come and I'll heal him. Then in verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that he should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Let me try to explain. This is what he's telling Jesus. He says, yes, I am a centurion. I am a big guy. In today's world, you could say big man one cool. So that's what he says. I am big man one cool. And in order for you to show you that I am a big guy, I've got people under me. And I tell people, go, and the person comes. I tell the another one, come, and the person comes. But he says, this thing is not of my own. Because me too, I am a man under authority. There's somebody else above me who has given me this authority, who has given me this ability in order for me to be able to tell others, go and they go, come and they come. And if this one decides that he's going to take away the authority he has given me, I am just a common man. So that means the centurion is basically saying, I give respect to the authority. Your boss may not be born again. But you know, they deserve your respect. You understand what I'm saying? Because that very same not born again boss of yours is a blessing to other people. But you, the only thing you see is that this guy is not born again. This woman is not born again. Your attitude matters. Your attitude matters. Amen. So I want to tell you who God is. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. It says, anything you see, the heavens that you see, were made by God. Everything you see was made by God. Anything you see was made by God. And he says, it was made by the breath of his mouth. This God is a God who said, let there be light. And there was light. The days he has allotted to you, he can say, let the days come to an end today. And they will end
Never think you're going to be here forever. In Psalm 19 verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. I was sharing on Wednesday. Today the sky is a bit blue. But I was saying, you know, if you've never been on a plane, and you look at the clouds, especially when they're big clouds, you can think heaven ends where the clouds are. Nangasema na kumamba, kumamba. So if there is something that it blocks, you can actually think, kumamba kunachira baji, kunachira. Jump on a plane, no matter how dark the clouds are. You go beyond the clouds, you begin to see through the window of the airplane. You see it's blue and it has no ending. Now, I want to tell you this today. There is somebody who created that. And the Bible says it was by the breath of his mouth and he declared that it came to pass. And you need to ask yourself, who am I that God your mind will. Hallelujah. God is infinitely greater than man, and man is only made in the image of God, but man will never be equal with God. No matter who man is, man will never be equal with God, including all these ones who say, do you know who I am? They will never be equal with God. Are there people we fear? Yes, it's true. But there's an attitude that Christ wants us to have. It's in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. When Jesus was on planet Earth, he was God in the flesh. Hallelujah. But for that period of time, the 33 years that he lived on planet Earth, he wore a human body, even though he was God. Hallelujah. Then the Bible says, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. He comes and he's not bothered about his reputation. Sometimes we waste a lot of our time trying to create reputation. There have been moments I've gone into the toilets and I've found out the toilets are not good for me and I've prayed. It doesn't change me. But somebody else who used them made them not clean. And they walked out and did not clean because they think they are a bad. Cleaning the toilet that they made not clean. How did I learn it? I learned it one time when I was attending the International Gathering of Churches. And there was a gentleman whose role was very, very simple. He was making sure that all the toilets were very, very clean. And I was intrigued. He would never go out and he would always be clean. Was shocked because the kind of money that he has, me in my lifetime, by the message of God, I don't believe it. And some of you only have two dambala. Come on, Timawano. Ish. Can't even set traffic. Traffic ushering, you can't do. Ushering church, you can't do. You do nothing in this place. Nothing. I've never seen it. You show up the time you want to show up. Are you going to walk in something? Yes, you will. But unless the Lord builds, all you're doing is in vain. Hallelujah. The Bible says the attitude of Christ that he decided, I'm going to have no reputation. I'll take the form of a servant. I'll come in the likeness of man. And he says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. You will never be happy as a Christian when you are disobedient. Obedience is a recurring theme in Scripture. The fear of the Lord is a recurring theme in Scripture. And the Bible says, even to the death of the cross, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because Jesus took this moment, he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. The Bible says it provoked the Father. And the Father decided, I'm going to exalt you above every other name, of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things under the earth. And at the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess that you are Lord. But the genesis of it, it was his humble mind. That's wisdom. Yeah, actually, one of the writers writes, he says, if you go to the place, even though you are a man whom people think you are a man, or you are a woman whom people think you are a woman, and you find chairs, he says, don't sit in the ones in front. Go sit somewhere. Let somebody come and say, then they take you and put you on that chair. Because when they put you on that chair, nobody is going to shoot you out. But he says, if by chance you think you are the him or the her, and you go and sit on that chair, he says, woe unto you. If somebody who is more worthy than you are comes, they'll come and say, please don't put yourself here. Let it be God who puts you here. Hallelujah. That's wisdom. The humanistic thinking in our culture is an insult to the glory of God. Humanism places man at the center in a supreme position, and humanism promotes pride. Humanism promotes rebellious independence. Humanism. Pride, you say, in minute McConnell, which the Bible says comes before the fall. The genesis of it is humanism. Unfortunately, the church has been influenced by this vain secular philosophy more than people realize. True wisdom starts with a biblical liberation and understanding of God's omnipotence, that God is all power. The more you know God, the more you respect him. The more you respect him, the more carefully you obey him and seek to please God. And when I say seek to please God, you be sure. There are things I have decided. I'll never say here on the pulpit, because I never want those things to be about me. But I wish I could tell you what happens when you make a decision to be Lord. Matthew chapter 6:33 is a true scripture in the Bible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
I laugh sometimes, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't give prayer items.
But I don't know why. Why do you give prayer items and say, but don't disclose my name? Have you ever thought about it? I love your question. One brother, the time he says, please disclose my name. So because he disclosed his name, it gave us courage to invite him to the front and say, Abad, in Bale Oyo, I will do something, something, something. First, there is God in this place. But his secret was, he was not ashamed. Because it was like, no, me, I'll tell them what exactly I am going through, and I want them to play for me in exactly what I am going through. And because he gathered that courage and he despised the shame, we called him, we were calling him in front, and we were praying with him, and we were praying for him, and the Lord came through for him. And when the Lord came through for him, he came one day and says, Pastor, I want you to tell me, there is God in this place. It takes your attitude toward what? When I say two of you pray together, I want you to tell that person what you're going to do, so that they can pray for you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Two more scriptures and then quickly we pray. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 to 9. I've reached the stage in my life where I don't want to be wasting my time with issues. I just want to focus on God. Verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Exhort her, she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Wisdom will promote you. I have seen many wise people sidelined. Ahimaaz is one of them. Ahimaaz was very, very good at speed. The day Abisalom was killed, Joab says, we need somebody else to go and deliver a message to the king. And Ahimaaz says, let me go. And Joab says, no, not today. Not today. And Ahimaaz insisted. But Joab sent the Cushite. When the Cushite started to run, David saw somebody, he was told, somebody's coming running. And they were told, who is he? He says, ah, but they come, the guy coming looks like Ahimaaz. Because Ahimaaz insisted. So Joab, I don't know about be that bad. I think the Cushite was but Ahimaaz truly was a man of skill. He overtook the Cushite. When he arrived, David asked him, how is the war? And what is the question? And then he asked him a question about Abisalom. What about the young boy Abisalom? He says, Then David told him, you understand? The Cushite. Who was sin not to have skin?
running.
And he says, oh no, the world is and all that. And then he says, how is the young man Esau? And this is what the Christian says. May all the people who rise against you, okay, don't be like that young man. He didn't tell David the boy has been killed, but David got the message. Sometimes, and this, I call this the Ahimaaz syndrome. Kutamanga tamanga is Ahimaaz syndrome. I'm telling you, one day you're going to be put aside. And you'll be wondering, why have I been put aside when I have got all it takes to make it big in life? People will look at you and go like, this and somebody else whom you think they don't deserve, they will come and overtake you. I've seen it in workplaces. And a lot of people go like, if you check, most of the time it's their attitude. You go home and read Proverbs 2:21-22. I'm not going to read it. Biblical wisdom is not knowledge of facts or capacity of logic. It is not higher education. It is not degrees. It begins with the fear of the Lord. Should we get the degrees? Yes. Should we get higher education? Yes. And the fear of the Lord, biblical wisdom, is based on a healthy respect toward God, and that produces a life of godliness. And this wisdom is thoroughly connected with submission and relationship with God. And that's something worth pursuing in life, because it is something of eternal value. Here are my last words. Life is short. Invest it well. Invest your time wisely. My last scripture, and then we'll just pray for about 10 minutes. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. I'm going to read it so that you understand I did not create that scripture. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And this is what the Bible says. And as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. This is what I want to say. You are not going to have another life on earth. The only life you are going to have on earth is the one you are living now. And when your allotted days are over, you fly away. And after you have flown away, you are going to meet the maker of your life. And when you meet the maker of your life, he's not going to judge you based on kutamanga tamanga and all the other issues. He's going to judge you based on how you lived your life here for his glory. One day, you'll give account for your life. Pursue godliness. Walk in the fear of the Lord. Choose to obey the Lord. Surrender your all to God.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. Our prayer is that God has spoken to your heart. Be blessed in this week.